But what we're going to do is look at the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. So if you open your Bible again at the book of Exodus, chapter 20, let me say this. Nobody loves Jesus unless they hate sin. Nobody knows God who is not at war with sin. If there was somebody who was always attacking and insulting your wife, can you love your wife and also be a friend with that person? And encourage that person and be helping that person? Of course you can't. And if someone were to put to death your little child and to stab them with a knife, could you keep that knife in your house and be bringing it out each day to admire it and to clean it and to look at it? Jesus is the saviour from sin. His great enemy that he came into the world to destroy is sin. But what is sin? What do we need to be saved from? Who is a sinner? The Apostle John, writing in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, he said, "Sin is the transgression of the law." Put another way, sin is the breaking of God's law, the breaking of God's commandments. Perhaps you have a mirror at home, and you hold up the mirror, and you look in the mirror, and you can see yourself now in this mirror. You say, "Ah, that's what I'm like. Oh, there's some dirt. I didn't know it was there. Or, oh, my hair is untidy. I didn't realize. Or, oh, my clothes are dirty and I hadn't seen until I looked in the mirror." Now, Sharia la Mungu ni kama kio is like a mirror. If you look in it, you can see yourself. And you can see that there's sin there that you never knew until you came to the mirror of God's law. Because God's law is showing us the things that God loves, the things that God hates. It shows us what God is like, what God desires. And so the law of God can lead us to Jesus Christ. Because it shows us how much we need him. It shows us how far we're falling short of God's standards. So today, Tuna soma kitabu cha kutoka mlango ya ishirini mstari moja mpaka tatu, amri ya kwanza, the first of the Ten Commandments. It says, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me.'" So the first commandment, God says, you shall have no other gods before me. I've got three things to say. The first is this. There is only one God. We must have no other God because actually there is only one true living God. There can only be one God, one supreme ruler of all. Imagine if in Kenya we had elected three presidents and there was state house here, state house here, state house here. And they were running three parliaments, one here, one here, one here. And they had three police forces and three court systems. What would be the result? Be confusion, wouldn't it? If my country, England, had three queens and three prime ministers and three parliaments, there would be confusion. And actually, none of those could be the true president if there was someone else ruling. There can only be one true God. There's only one world which he has made. We, as human beings, are all one family. And a Mzungu can marry an African, or an Indian can marry an American. And they can have a family together, because we are all really one family, one blood. So there's only one God who made us, only one God we should worship. And the one true God is the God of the Bible. We can read in the Bible of some of the other gods, who they have been. We read of Ashtoreth and of Chemosh, and we read of Milcom, and we read of these gods with strange names. And we say, who is that? Because they're gone from history. Because they weren't the living God or the true God. And well, who did our ancestors worship? You know, here in Kenya, some of your ancestors were worshipping trees or animals. In my country, our ancestors worshipped the world around them and the sun, but such a long time ago now, it's hard to know much about it. But all that is gone, because those things were dead. They're not gods. And there's only the one true living God who remains. The true God is the God of the Bible, and we can be confident of that. Wherever the Bible has gone in the world has changed. And God has shown his power. He has changed people. And he has changed cultures and societies. This Bible turns sinners into holy people. This sinner takes someone who's drunk and a thief and a liar and turns him into a hard-working, honest, truthful man. The true God speaks through the Bible and his power is known there. Jesus changes people. And this doesn't just happen in one place. No, it's not just Mzungus who have been changed by believing in this God. But wherever this Bible's gone in the world, as it's come with greater power into Africa in the last 100 and 200 years, this true God is the one true God. The true God is the God of the Bible. He is the one who raised up Jesus from the dead. There's no tomb where you can find the body of Jesus, because Jesus is alive. That is God's word to everyone. That he is the true God, and that we should worship him through his son, Jesus, whom he sent. So we cannot choose our God, because there is only one, the true and living God who made us, who made the world, who sent his son, Jesus, who raised him from the dead, and who is defeating all the other false gods, so that many of their names are now forgotten. Now do you worship that one true God? Kitu Chapili, I want to say, this God really is God. Now, what do we mean by the word God? To call him God. Let's think of him. Because there is no other being like God. I saw some chickens running around outside. Those little chicks. They're part of the hen family. Me, I'm a Mzungu, and you know there's many others. And I'm a preacher, and you know there's many others. But there's nothing you can compare God to. You cannot say, ah, God is one of these. Here's God, and here's another one, and here's another one. God stands alone. There is no beings like him. He is set apart. He is holy. He is by himself. And he is infinitely glorious. God is showing us his glory in the world he's made. Did you lift up the sun this morning? Did your power cause the moon to come up last night? Or did you say, ah, that's the time it is. We must get the sun up now. But God, who never sleeps, never rests, he oversees all things in all the creation. At all times. We see God's beauty in the creation. Don't we? As we look at that beautiful sky and we see the trees. We hear the birds singing. We can see flowers and plants. If we go to the right places, we can see the hills and the valleys. We can see the mountains. We can see the rivers. And God is preaching to you every day in his creation. And he's saying, think about my glory. Think about the God who I am. Think of my power. I never grow tired and the world just falls down because God has grown weak and he needs to sleep. But stars, sun and moon and galaxies and planets, they go on in their way day after day, night after night. You and me, we're just from yesterday. and when tomorrow comes, we could be gone. But God is from age to age. Milele na milele, the true living God. As you sit and listen, there's some things you're doing, and you don't even think about them. Your heart is pumping, beating, you're breathing, you're drawing breath. You're doing it by the power that God gives. God is still willing that there is life in your body. God is still willing that you breathe and the blood goes round you. And the Bible says, even the very hairs on your head are numbered. How many have you got? I don't know. God knows, and he's determined how many there should be. God decides all of life. And because of these things, he is God. This infinite glory, this infinite power, his will ruling over everything, he is God. And so should be worshipped. Jesus Christ is this God. When I say Jesus Christ, who are you thinking of? You're thinking of some good teacher who brings us many good ideas? You're thinking of somebody who did powerful miracles? You're thinking of a holy man who shows us a good life so that we copy him? You're thinking of a preacher who brings us messages that we need to hear? A prophet? He's much, much more than that. The Bible says he is before all things. The Bible says by him all things hold together. The Bible says he holds up all things by the word of his power. The Bible says he is the one who will judge the living and the dead. The Bible says that in the beginning he was with God and he is God. When we think of Jesus Christ, we should tremble. We should be in awe. There should be a holy fear in our hearts. When we think of this creation, Jesus Christ is now holding it up and now giving you the breath by which you breathe. He's truly God. Now, the third thing then. God demands that we honour him as God. That's this command we're looking at. You shall have no other gods before me. That means you shall have no other gods in my sight. There will be none when I look at you that I see as gods except myself. Now, there are no other gods, and it is right that we worship him alone. And he says later in his law, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. He is the God of everything, and he should be worshipped with everything. And he demands to be our God completely. Now, what is your God? Now, perhaps you're thinking, well, I've come to a church where there's Christian preaching, so I'm worshipping the true God, so what's the problem? But remember that God is the God of everything. And if we open your heart, if we look into your mind, what do you love most of all? What do you desire most of all? Because we can see in Kenya that many preachers, they have many other gods before him. Because they're preaching Christ and they're also following after money. And they bring in that other God to be a God besides him. They're preaching Christ and they're seeking power. And so they have the true God, but they have these other gods before him also. And they're saying that they're doing the work of God, but they're also in politics. And so they have other gods alongside him. When you lie down to sleep tonight, what will be your last thought? What will be your last words before you go to sleep? Will your last thought be of God and that you put yourself in the hand of God? When you wake up in the morning, what's your first desire? What do you start wanting? We sing the psalm, like the deer pants, desires after the water, so my soul desires you, O God. Is that true in your life? What is on your heart and mind? When you go from this place, what will you be hoping for? What will you be wanting? Are you fully satisfied in God? Is this God in Jesus Christ all that you want and long for? And that if you have him, you know that everything else will take its place. That if he has the throne, if he reigns, then everything else will take its place under him. Just if you can get him first. Because that's the commandment, actually. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. He says, me first, me on my own, and otherwise you are an idolater. Otherwise you have idols. Did you know that? If I asked you, where are the idols in your life? Would you say, oh, I have none. You know, go down to that temple in the town and you can see all the idols there. Yeah, they have 10 heads and 20 arms and they bow down to them there. But actually, an idol is anything which has your heart as much as God, so that God is not having the first place. Now, if we open up your life, we might find there's a whole shelf of idols, of some relationship, some desire, some money, some power, or some revenge, some goal that you've got, and you won't let it come down underneath God and have God say what it should be. He says, you shall have no other gods but me, not even one. See, this command is like the foundation. When you build a house, you're on a strong foundation. When the wind comes, when it's raining, the house, you don't want it to fall down. This command comes first. Because unless God is God, everything else is just pretending. You may come to church. You may read your Bible. You may bring some worship. You may try to do some good deeds. You may help your neighbours. But unless God is first in your heart, it's just pretending. This is the foundation. When God sends the storm of his judgment, your house will fall down unless you have this one. And we've all fallen far short, haven't we? None of us has given God this honour and glory which he demands from us. This God who is infinitely deserving. He deserves everything. Everything is his. We haven't even begun to give him everything, have we? We haven't begun to give him half. One part in 10 of what he deserves. The Bible is telling us that there is one man who did that. There is a man who came into the world, who gave God his heart, his soul, his mind, his strength, who gave God his body and his life, who offered up his all. Jesus Christ died on the cross and gave God a perfect offering. Jesus said in his life, I always do what pleases him. Another time he said, which of you can accuse me of sin? Which of you can find something lacking in my life? Says that zeal, desire for his father's house ate him up. It consumed him. He was God's at all times. And this Jesus gave himself up on the cross for sinners like you and me. So you read the command, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. And well, I've had many. There's many things I followed instead of God. But Jesus Christ offers himself to be your saviour. Jesus says, if you now turn to me, I'll bring you back to God. If you now turn away from your sin, take that crown off your head where you think you're the king, hand it over to me, I will be your Lord and your Saviour, now and forever. And I'll give you my spirit and I'll teach you how to desire God, how to want God, and how to follow him. Come, repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Begin that new life with God as your God. Why delay? You won't find some other God to save you from hell. You won't find some other God to be with you in life. So do it today, and do it with all your heart, by his help. Amen.